Never mind.
I know.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be starting momentarily.
Okay.
We're using the handout, the PowerPoint, and we're starting with the letter bet.
Marker.
Good morning. We're going to be starting with the letter bet, and we're starting now.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. The letter you're looking at is the letter bet. It has two sounds, the B sound and the V sound. The way you know which sound is there's a dot in the middle of the letter. The dot in the middle of the letter is called a dagesh. And now here's the wonderful part of Hebrew. Dots are vowels. But in the Torah, there are no vowels. There are no dots. That's not 100% true because there are certain locations, there are 32 dots in the Torah scroll. But they're not vowels. They have different meanings. And when we get further into the teachings, I'll explain them. But the dagesh is there to teach you whether it's a bet, a sound, or a vet, a V sound. Why does the letter have two sounds? In the Kabbalah, the reason the bet has two sounds is it's one of seven dual sounding letters. Why that is, nobody knows. We accept it. There are different opinions as to why there are the two sounds. And one of the opinions is sometimes when you're putting letters together to make a word, it's hard to say a B sound within the word. So you say it as a B sound. It's easier. Another opinion for why the two sounds is one is male and one is female. One is soft, but they're essentially coming from the same part of the mouth. There are five parts of the mouth. I'm not going to go into the details now, but if a letter comes from the same part of the mouth, it can be substituted for every other letter that comes from that part of the mouth. A bet, a B sound, is similar to a P sound. It comes from the same part of the mouth. So any word that has a bet can also be, you can substitute the letter called pay. Why would you want to substitute the letter pay? Because it changes the word. And in changing the word, you're getting the 70 different explanations of the Torah. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
So we have the two sounds. The word bet, and let me change it to the next slide. And every time I use this, I appreciate the man who created this. because it really is very effective if I can ever find my...
When I saw the difference between faith and faith,
right.
I immediately thought Spanish, because the B and the B are pronounced the same.
But they're coming from the same part of the mouth, as I just expressed. You say a bet, or a bet. The only difference is the lips are a little bit higher.
And in Spanish, you're not saying the or the, which some people pick up on Marcos.
One of the comments, I'm not sure it's getting onto the recording, so let me know if you heard the comment, but Joe made a comment to the effect that Spanish has the B and the V sound as one letter. When in words in Spanish are spelled with a B or a V, they're pronounced the same. So the second slide for the bet, you'll notice the word at the bottom, bet yud tav. We will first consider the shape of the vet, which makes the B sound. We will find later another letter which looks enough like the bet that it can cause some confusion. And when we get there, we will discuss that. To help distinguish between the bet and similar letters, notice some distinctive points about the shape of the bet. The first thing I have to tell you about the shape of the letters is there is arguments among archaeologists, word experts. There are arguments as to whether these letter shapes are the original Hebrew letters. You'll notice the bet is formed from two letters. It's actually formed from three letters. All three letters are called Vav. We will get to the letter Vav, but as we found in the Aleph the last 2 weeks ago, the first letter of the alphabet is the Aleph. And the Aleph is composed of a Vav, the diagonal line, and two Yuds, one going up and one coming down. The Bet is formed from three Vavs. You'll notice the line on the bottom goes past, it has a foot to the right. We're being instructed, look at the shape of the letter. But if it's not the original meaning of the letter, there is a primitive, you can call it, excuse me, you can call it cave drawings of these letters. Go ahead, Tom. The reason I say that, one of my students on the recording or on conference call is very knowledgeable about the letters and history, and her background as a teacher brought all of that together. She'll add comments that are really beneficial. No pressure, Hannah.
No, this is Brandela.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm on, though. I don't know for how long. I've got a sick husband this morning, but I'll do my best. Right now, he's sleeping.
The three vowels, one at the top, one horizontal, vertical down, and one across. They're all basically straight lines. But their locations, the bottom one going out, the top one meeting at the vertical, establishes the shape of the letter. I mentioned the three letters at the bottom that you had taught. Each letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a name. Each letter has a name. And when you see a letter in the Torah, the other parts of the name of the letter are there in a concealed way. Again, this leads to the 70 different understandings of what the Torah is saying. If you could imagine the statement, "I see Dick run." Well, in English, the letter I is spelled not just the letter, but it also has another I after it. C, the S has two S's. The E has two E's. The second E has two E's. That's what I'm trying to get across to you, that when you see a letter in Hebrew, there's also a concealed part. And that concealed part always consists of these, the full letter spelling of the letter name. That letter name always has a different meaning. So the word bet means a letter bet, but it also means the word house. And if you look at the shape of the letter, is it a house? It has a roof. It has one side. It has the bottom, the foundation, the walls, and the roof. But what's missing?
Door.
But it has a door. It's just open. The bet is open. What does that teach you? Should your house be open? Abraham had tents in the desert, but he had four doors on his tent. When we see the modern Cowboys and Indian movies, the teepee is there. It's a tent. But there's only one entrance. But Abraham was a wanderer. Where he pitched his tent, he was hoping people would come to him so that he could serve them, so he could teach them. Because whenever somebody was wandering in the desert and they found another person, there was communication that they tried to do. And Abraham was saying to himself, I want them to come into my tent. I want to serve them a meal. And as part of the meal, I'm going to teach them about the one God. But they're tired. However long they've been coming across the desert, that extra few steps to go around the tent, to go around the house, I'm going to make it easy and have four doors. So whichever direction they come from, they have less steps to go. That teaching is a primary teaching in Judaism. It's called chesed. The letter bet, the house, is the primary component of the teaching. A wife is referred to as the house of her husband. we could go into modern ideas that women are not houses, and that it's not feminist, it's chauvinistic to say that a woman is the house to her husband. But historically, this was the teaching. In modern days, husbands are becoming houses to their wives. The wife goes out to work. The husband stays home to take care of the children. That happens in some families. The traditional role of male and female is the woman is the house, takes care of the house, raises the children. And that is the reason that a woman is exempt from time-bound mitzvot. She's not exempt from Shabbat. She's not exempt from lighting candles. But she's exempt from saying three prayers a day. Because with little children, she doesn't have time if she's truly taking care of them. That's just one example of why Judaism teaches what it teaches. But it's changing because the roles of males and females are changing. And that comes from the 7 days of creation. But that'll take us away from the Hebrew Aleph and get into the religion. And I don't want to go there in this class. Unless somebody asks a question. And then I'll probably say, don't want to go there in this class.
Bet is also a derivative of Bethlehem?
No, Bethlehem is two Hebrew words. Bet meaning house, Lechem meaning bread. The city of Bethlehem, the essence, energy of that city is a house of bread. But this is going to get a little confusing because Lechem is the root, the shoresh for war. So Bethlehem is both a house of bread and a house of war. And where do the troubles happen between the Palestinians and the Israelis in modern day? Where did the Intifada start in the early 2000s? Started in Bethlehem. It's a city of war. But it's also the city of bread. Now, bread is what? Life, nourishment. So how can you have war and nourishment? War and life together, don't they seem to be opposites?
They're together
in that city. The name of the city defines the energy of the place. Every word in Hebrew, if you parse it out into its original letters, you have a totally different, deeper understanding. If I use my name, Hanok, and I'll say this repeatedly throughout this class, Hanoch, the shoresh of Hanoch is the same as Hanukkah. It's the same, it's the Hebrew word chen, which is translated typically as grace. Chana has a similar shoresh, grace. If I ask people of the other religion, the other major religions, what is grace? We get definitions that don't make sense to me. But if you look at the two letters that make up chen, chet and nun, it's an anagram for Chachma Nestar. The chet is Chachma, which means wisdom. The nun is Nestar, which means concealed. 10, grace is the concealed wisdom. When you add the last two letters of my name, Vav and Kaf Sofit, it has a gematria of 26, which is the gematria of Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So, Chanoch, Shoresh is Chen, which means hidden wisdom. Shoresh is Chen, which means dedication. Shoresh is Chen, which means education. Is dedication and education connected? Some say yes, some say no. Some teachers work for a living. Some teachers work for a passion. Ten, Hanok, is the hidden wisdom of Hashem. It is teaching, education, dedication. All of this is built into my name. It's also my path in life. Until you study your name with the knowledge of the letters, you will have difficulty finding your name. Once you study your name with the letters, your path becomes clear. And that is true for everybody, whether they are born Jewish, have a Jewish name, have taken a Jewish name. The name you use in the street can be changed or spelled with Hebrew letters. And those letters give you your deeper understanding of your own, who you really are, who is your soul. Because our body is not the human being. Our body is part of the human being. But who we are is our soul. Because the body dies, the soul never does. Deborah, nickname Debbie. Nickname Rina is a Hebrew word that means beautiful. So many girls are nicknamed Rina. What does it have to do? What does it teach you? If you call someone beautiful, are you referring to their exterior or their interior? Some are exterior, some are interior. Some both. Actually, your exterior is always a reflection on your interior. One of the aspects of an individual's tikkun, an individual's correction, is to unify their exterior with their interior. Because if I feel that I'm angry with someone, but I smile at them to hide it, I'm lying to God. I'm lying to myself. I'm lying to that other person. So if I'm angry, I need to learn how to express it in an acceptable way. First, I have to understand why am I angry. And it's usually because of something from a previous lifetime that I don't even understand until I really delve into it through meditation. And I'm just using anger as one emotion. I could also say the same thing with regard to love. Now, we will have memory aids for some of the letters. And to help remember the shape and also the sound of the letter bet, we will refer to it as the baseball letter. Why? Look at two of the appearance features of this letter. There's a ball and a bat, or a base. The ball is the dagesh. The base is the bat. So the creator of this, what's it called? PowerPoint. He found baseball as a way of remembering the name of the letter. We all use mnemonics. In English, you have the aleph, the alphabet. I get the two words, the two confused. In Hebrew, it's called aleph bet. Where do you think the word alphabet comes from? The linguists will tell you it comes from Greek. Because alpha, aleph, alphabet, alpha, and bet is the two first two Greek letters. But it's also the first two Hebrew letters which preceded the Greek. We use mnemonics to learn the order of the alphabet. Right now, you've been taught two letters, Aleph and Bet. But there's 22 letters. And with the final shapes, and I mentioned this final one before the recording, the final letters, there are five letters that change shape at the end of the word. Those final letters represent the end days, and we all know the term end of days, referring to when the Messiah, the Mashiach, will come. We are taught that the letters that are in the Torah scroll will all change their shape. If they are the five final letters, all of them, everywhere in the word, front, middle, and back, front, middle, and end, they will all become the final shape. And when we get to those letters, I will explain how those shapes are different and yet the same. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you. It is a shapeshifter. But it's a shape. The reason why the shape is different in the middle of the word now is because we conceive metaphorically that the negative system is below us. And the final letters, their lines go down to the negative system, feeding them energy. But when the negative system is controlled, as it will be by the Mashiach, there's no reason that you can't let those letters feed the negative system because it won't be harmful. Something to think about. We'll come back to it over and over. Go ahead.
Oh, I said that this word is found in faith.
Yes. Each letter has a root vowel. When you say it's a bet, I say it's a bet. It's because I was raised in America. But if you go to Israel, they don't say bet, they say bait. Conversely, in Israel, the two dots that we said was A is actually a short EH. So it's a bet because the sound of the two dots in Israel is eh. Now, I've confused you, and it is confusing because languages change. One of the reasons that Hebrew was considered a dead language was because there wasn't a population using it for 2,000, 2,500 years, essentially. if that language had been used, then it would have changed. Modern Hebrew is not biblical Hebrew. It's different. It's two different dialects. Modern Hebrew uses words for electricity that has a totally different meaning in biblical Hebrew, because there was no electricity as we understand electricity today in the walls of our houses, in the power lines, in the telephones. But the word my memory is weak today, so the word for Hebrew was used, that is used for electricity in modern Hebrew, is used in the Torah, in the prophecies and the visions of Ezekiel, where he talks about lightning, where he talks about traveling up to God, the power of God. So that's why the modern linguists of Hebrew accepted that word for electricity, because that's the similarity. But it's two different things.
I guess that's a really good thing. Have the dual understanding of Hebrew, having been a dead language, yet never having been a dead language. They were always studied.
Correct. But it was never used in the living language. It was studied because they were studying the Torah. They were not changing the language. That's not 100% true, because whenever you study words, your understanding of the word changes over the centuries. But compared to a living language, a language that is used daily by a population, biblical Hebrew was not changed, relatively speaking. Back to the baseball. Aramaic uses Hebrew letters. Aramaic has different dialects. Aramaic was used as the modern, not the modern, as used as the normal everyday conversation with the people in biblical times. They didn't use Hebrew. Why didn't they use Hebrew?
Too damn confusing.
No.
What did you say?
She said it's because it was too confusing. That's not the answer. It can be one of the 70 answers, but it's not the answer. The reason that people didn't use Hebrew is because words have power. And Hebrew words have exponentially more power than any other language. Literally, the Torah says, God said, spoke, light, and there was light. The people in biblical times, by speaking Hebrew with the right consciousness, could create light. They didn't need electricity. They could create the light with their words. Not everyone in the generation, but those who studied the schools of prophecies. And there were many schools of prophecy during biblical times. What is a school of prophecy? It's teaching the prophet how to connect to God so that God will speak to him and he will understand, or she will understand, because prophecy applied to both men and women. A school of prophecy is how to connect to God. It's what has come down to us in the various schools of Kabbalah. One of those schools, he wrote his books in the 13th century. He was the last of that school. And his books were never translated, and they were kept in manuscript form even after the printing press was created. And it wasn't until 1980s that one professor in one academic area in Israel translated it, his writings, and put it into a book that was understandable. And don't ask me the name because it slipped my mind, but it eventually it'll surface and I'll tell you. From Hebrew to Hebrew, from biblical Hebrew to modern Hebrew, different dialects.
And
you definitely, it's not lost in the translation, it's a commentary. Anytime you translate biblical Hebrew, you are making a commentary. And don't make the mistake of thinking of it as a translation. It's a commentary. It's that translator's opinion of what the biblical word says.
I also think of the term translators.
I'm not ready to go there, but I understand the concept.
Okay. I just said it. You had something to say about it.
As I said, I'm not ready to go there because we have to understand. Every human being has the ability to speak to God, and God will answer. Most human beings in our modern generation do not accept that as truth. We have 40 years ago, the Christians were reborn. They had a communication with a God that they considered their God. And each one had a different communication, but it was their communication. And they heard what they heard. And they were thought insane in some circles because God was speaking to them. So they didn't really speak about it, but they would ask questions of their God of how to live their life. And they got answers. Were those answers from the God, or was it those answers from one of the lesser gods? In Hebrew, the word Elohim, which you know from the first chapter of Genesis, Elohim means God of judgment, the attribute of judgment, the attribute of strength. But there are sometimes Elohim means angelic ministers, angelic government officials, and sometimes it means the attribute of judgment from the Creator. Sometimes it has even different meanings. They're all different levels. As we say, that each word in the Torah has 70 understandings. One for each nation. What is a nation? It's a group of human beings who have the same worldview. But my worldview as a Jew is the same as your worldview as a Jew. But my worldview is different than your worldview. Why? because we're different people. We have a different desire to receive. We were created as a desire to receive. And that's part of what we have to understand that comes from the Torah, that comes from the classes. Comes from Bible study, Torah study. Both of the memory words, I'm getting back to the reading here, start with the sound B to remind us the sound of the bet is a B. If the ball is removed from the letter, we will have a different sound, that of the V. If the letter didn't have the base, it would be a different letter also. If the ball is removed, the letter will have a different sound. And if you look, you'll see that the ball has been removed. Many letters can have a dot, called a dagesh, in the middle of the letter. The dot does not change the letter. It is still the same letter. For three letters, it will change the sound that the letter represents. Actually, it's seven letters that it changes the sound. But in modern Hebrew, they've dropped it down to three letters. If the bet doesn't have a dagesh, it makes the sound of a V. So we will call it a vet. It is still the same letter, but it sounds different. Without the dagesh, the letter is the vacant letter. And if it didn't have the base, it would be a different letter. The block letter bet, when you're drawing the bet, uses two strokes. One is the curve. You're showing the top, the roof of the house, and the vertical wall. You tie them together into one movement. It's a curve. But it's not a circle. It's not as sharp as a circle. One is a straight line curved at the end down where it becomes straight again. And the second stroke is the base. And the base must go past the vertical. Not a lot, just a little bit. And a dot in the middle tells you whether it's a bet or a vet. And so you essentially have the three strokes. I'm showing you the next slide. One, two, and the third stroke is the dot. And your homework is to practice to make that shape.
Hello. From the diagram. The one and the two starting above or below each other.
Yes.
Right.
You don't want the base to be wider than the roof.
Exactly.
Although if you were building a building,
you
would want the foundation to be wider than the roof. And it is if you look at the right corner of the base. That's why it goes past the vertical. It's making the foundation wider than the roof. because you don't want to build a building that has a dot at the bottom and a broad base at the top. The building you want to build should be wider at the bottom. In the words of that, I'm going to get in trouble by saying, why are women's hips tend to be broader than men's hips?
Because they give birth.
Because they give birth. But it's also because the house has to be broader at the bottom. Mechanically, it is because of birth.
Okay.
More than mechanically. I don't mean to imply that it's not. I get myself in trouble with all these chauvinist statements, so you'll either forgive me or attack me.
I guess it's pretty insulting for people to say you're a male chauvinist pig.
It's not insulting, it's accurate, because being a male chauvinist is not a Jewish value.
Oh.
This next slide is basically telling you how to start going into the details, which we don't really have time for, of how to do it. But if you bring, as I said with the olive, make 1,000 olives during the week, or as many as you feel that you have the shape of the letter down. Because the practice of writing the letter is creating muscle memory, for lack of a better term. And what is muscle memory? I use the example of, I cannot hear when my glasses are off. I just had cataract surgery last year. I don't hear as well. I can still see distance, but if somebody's close, I can't see them. I need my glasses. My muscle memory is different. We all hear because we see lips move. You don't hear as well if the person has their back to you. Why? The sound is the same frequency, same volume. Why is it different? Because I'm not engaging all of my senses. I'm limiting the sight because I can't see their lips. The same thing applies to handwriting, to writing of block letters. You need to develop muscle memory. It reinforces the teachings in your brain because your hand is moving. But it's always moving in the same shape. And that shape is your muscle. Go ahead. Yes.
Am I wrong? Or is it my dialect?
I'm going to say this many times in this class. It's not your dialect. Is it Shabbos or is it Shabbat? Same letter, right?
Yeah.
The top, it's the final letter. Why do we say why do I say Shabbat and you say Shabbos? Because historically, the Jewish world was split into two groups. One called Ashkenazi, meaning it originated in Spain and moved into Eastern Europe and to Russia. And one called Sephardi, because it originated around the Mediterranean. But actually, Sephard means Spain. So it started in Spain in when the Muslims conquered North Africa and Spain. That's what the group of Jews are called, Sephardi. When Israel became a state in 1948, the modern state, there was an argument. What do we teach our children? There were two rabbis, all chief rabbis, head rabbis. There was an Ashkenazi rabbi and a Sephardi rabbi. And they got together talking about what are we going to teach our children for 4 years, from 48 to 52. They argued as to what was the best approach. The reason that you pronounce it with an S sound, Shabbos, base, is because the Taf has two sounds. But the Sephardis don't use two sounds. The Taf is always a T sound. It's never an S sound. There are two other letters that make an S sound. The argument was decided and agreed by both rabbis that the Taf would be pronounced with a T. So in Israel, you do not hear Shabbos except from those people who follow older generations of rabbis. When our generation passes, it'll never be Shabbos. It will always be Shabbat, because the younger generation has been taught from the time of our children that it's Shabbat, it's not Shabbos. But everybody doesn't want to give up their youth. How did you learn it? You learned it with the T, but also you heard enough of it, so sometimes you say it that way.
In the same day,
mm-hmm.
have been said,
good
Shabbos.
Or Shabbat. Shabbat. Yes. And that's the reality, because the Taf does have both sounds in Biblical Hebrew.
So which one goes?
Yes. The Ashkenazi is both the S and the T. The Sephardi is only the T.
At the side of A and the T, it should be a dotted dagesh.
It should have a dot dagesh in it, but if you're only going to have the one sound, you don't need the dagesh.
You know, look at it. By the way,
mm-hmm. I understand, and when you say base, I don't correct you, because it's not wrong, but it's different dialects. Can I understand your dialect? I was raised with it, but I learned to accept the Israeli sound, and that's what I have been doing for the last 30 years. 28 years so that I've been studying with Kabbalah. Exactly. It's hard to hear, but every time I do the prayers on Saturday morning, Toby will constantly correct me, or he will say, I pronounce it with an S and you pronounce it with a T. He constantly refers to that. That's because that's his nature. He got confused as a child because his parents took him from one school to another, and the backgrounds of the schools were different. So he got confused, and the way he coped was to always think of both ways. Everybody has their process of learning. I think we're about done, and we need to go down. Yeah, we need to go down for the blowing of the shofar. I understood.
Thank you. So was that?
Yes, but I was asking for the bets for other people so they'd be able to see it. And if you look down to the next slides. For next week, we'll be going to it looked like to me to the M, but I didn't read it close enough to know if it was going to be continuing.
Thanks, and have a good day.
You too. Thank you, Trudy.
I'm going to the M instead of Dallas. Okay.
Stay tuned.
You all have a good evening. Two classes tonight, one at 4:30 West Coast time, Deep Zohar, and we're going to do the Tikkuni Zohar for our Zohar class tonight at 7. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom.
A beautiful day.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Very good lesson.